the host of the original Hollywood Squares, now being shown on the Game Show Network as Classic Squares, and that it was, Mr. Peter Marshall. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you.
Thanks for being on the program with us.
My pleasure.
7900-991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hall area, and also the border states. Those are the numbers to call if you have a question for Peter. And we should mention right off the bat that you also have a book out. And
yes, I do.
For those who aren't aware of your musical talents, you have an album out, which we're going to hear some a little later on.
Oh, terrific.
It's called, the album is called I'm Glad There Is You.
Actually, it's called Boy Singer.
Boy Singer.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a song, that I'm Glad There Is You, in it, that I dedicate to my wife. But I was a boy singer. That's how I started. So
and
the album is really called Peter Marshall Boy Singer.
Which is also what your website is.
That's right.
www.boysinger.com.
That's right.
Now, I was talking to some friends of mine who we all grew up watching Hollywood Squares, and the things that we enjoyed the most, and I think it's where you were underrated, and that is, especially now watching various game shows, including new versions and newer versions of the show that you hosted. We all came to the agreement that you have something besides the fact that you sing in common with Dean Martin. And that is, you had to be one heck of a straight man.
Well, you know, for years I was a straight man, a comedy act called Noonan and Marshall, Tommy Noonan and Pete Marshall. We used to play Montreal all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The hotel there, the King something, you know, it's been so many years ago. And then I also played another place that was upstairs, and I cannot recall the name of that. But I used to play, we would tour, you know, the whole country. We were together for a long time, Tommy Noonan and Pete Marshall. So I had been straight, you know, I am straight, but I had been doing straight for a long, long time. And so when they asked me to do Squares, it was pretty simple for me to do. It was a lot of fun, plus the fact that I knew most of the people on the panel. Wally Cox, I'd gone to school with. Charlie Weaver, Cliff Arquette, I'd known since I was 18. Rosemarie, we kind of grew up together. You know, George Gobel, we had been in almost vaudeville together. So it was kind of a familial kind of thing when I started Squares. So I certainly wasn't intimidated by anybody. And they knew my background, and I think they respected me. And we just had a fun time.
Now, you were the original host of the Hollywood Squares, but you didn't shoot the pilot.
No, I didn't. It's all in the book, actually. The pilot was done at CBS a year before I even knew about it. I was on Broadway, actually, starring with Julie Harris in a show called Skyscraper. And so had that show sold, I would never have done the Hollywood Squares. But Burt Parks was the original guy. I never did a pilot. They did a pilot with Burt Parks, then with another fellow by the name of Sandy Baron. And they just auditioned me, and I didn't particularly want to do the show. I wanted to go back to New York and do another Broadway show. And so they were going to offer the show to somebody I didn't like. And this is in the book, too. And
right.
He was a very big star. But he was not a very nice person in my eyes. And so they said, if you don't do it, so-and-so is going to do it. I said, you got to be kidding. I said, I'll do it. I thought it was 13 weeks. So by my being so mean and everything, and to cheat somebody out of a show, I worked for the next 16 years.
The book you were referring to is Backstage with the Original Hollywood Square.
Right.
Written by you and Adrian Armstrong.
Right. Adrian, her husband was one of the original producers, and he passed away a couple of years ago. But Adrian was on the show as a production assistant right from the beginning, so she knew as much about the show as I, and she's a fine writer. She had been writing, oh gosh, about five different series. And so she was the person really to go to. And so I said, hey, Adrian, would you like to do this thing with me? And she said, absolutely. And we've had great success with it. Well, I think we sold out the first edition in about 3.5 weeks.
And we should mention, too, that the book is also available from your website, which is www.boysinger.com.
If you want an autographed copy, yeah, that's
yep.
How you can get it. But you can buy it on Amazon.com, much cheaper than in the stores. And the great thing about the book, there's a CD in the book, and it's all the old outtakes from over the years. There's everybody you ever heard of, from Mel Brooks to Freddie Prinze to, well, everybody, Goebel and Wall-In. And it's a CD. I think the CD's worth the price, really. And I got the rights to it. It's called Zingers from the Hollywood Squares. And I included that in the book. And people play it all the time. I have a place in the desert here, and when I drove down, I listened to it the other day, and I must say, I did laugh a lot.
We're talking with Peter Marshall, the original host of the Hollywood Squares. 7900991 is the number to call. Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hall area, and also the border states. There was also, correct me if I'm mistaken, a children's version of the Hollywood Squares?
Right, it was called Storybook Squares on Saturday mornings. That was really a lot of fun, but it didn't work. I'll tell you why. It should have been an hour show. By the time I introduced all the stars in their outfits, you know, Paul Lynde is Paul Bunyan and all these different people dressed up, we had about 8 minutes of content for children. So it should have been a 45-minute show or an hour show, but it was certainly a lot of fun to do, and I think the kids got a big kick out of it.
Now, you said you were not intimidated because you knew most of the people who were on the show, but
right.
it was almost like being, how would I describe this, like the ringmaster, in a way, of a nine-ring circus or a nine-square circus sometimes.
Well, I guess so. It was really an easy job. You know, I just sat there and said, hello, stars, and welcome to the show, and I would introduce the people, I'd read the questions, and I'd laugh. That was just about it. It was the easiest job I ever had in show business, and I loved it. It was just really a lot of fun. We took trips together. I talk about all the trips we took together and what really went on backstage and what this guy was like, what that starlet was like, or, you know, what Rose Maria's really like. We had, you know, people like, gosh, what do you think about Helen Hayes and Gloria Swanson and Ginger Rogers? And, I mean, all these people were on the show. I talk about all that.
How long did it take you to do that? What was the schedule like? I know most game shows you tape on the weekends. Is that correct?
I would tape sometimes, yes, mostly on the weekends. But when people were shooting series, they're not working on the weekends, so we can get a lot of series people. I would go in around 3 o'clock, go to makeup, look to see who's on the show. I'd read the questions. I'd go on the air, start taping around, say 4:30. It took me about 4.5 hours to do the week. I do the whole week. And no rehearsal, no nothing. Just, you know, I do the half-hour show. I'd go change, get into another jacket. Didn't even have to change my pants. I never stood up. So sometimes I would do it in shorts, actually. And some of the outfits were just god-awful because they used to make me wear these terrible tuxedos because they were selling them and you know, getting deals. And I was the poor guy that had to wear these things. I look at the show now and I do laugh a lot. First of all, I say, who is that young kid? And secondly, I said, and why is he wearing that outfit?
I guess, it was, you know, only working weekends on the show gave you all the time in the world to do the other things that you enjoy doing, like singing.
Oh, absolutely. I would work Vegas at least 26 weeks a year. And I had to deal with the Sahara for 10 years, and I was at what they call Suma, which was the Desert Inn, the Sands, the New Frontier, and... yeah, and then not only that, we would get ahead for about 8 or 10 weeks. Then I would go out and do like the Music Man or Guys and Dolls or something like that in summer stock. Oh, it was an ideal job.
We're talking with Peter Marshall, the original host of the Hollywood Squares. 7900991 is the number to call. Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. You could also check out his website, which is boysinger.com. We will be playing some of his album a little later on, and you could also check out the book Backstage with the Original Hollywood Square. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800.
Now more of CJAD's Halder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800. We're talking with Peter Marshall, the original host of Hollywood Squares. If you have a question for Peter, line's free, 790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD. There have been two incarnations of the show since you hosted it, the one that John Davidson did.
Right.
And the one that's being aired now with Tom Bergeron.
Right.
Was there a reason why you didn't continue hosting?
I have no idea why they didn't ask me, to be frank with you. I think they were looking for younger people, and they wanted to go another way. But the thing with John, it was not very well produced. I thought John was very good, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He happens to be a very close friend, and he was very upset when he got the job, and he called me, and I said, "Are you crazy, John?" He was a regular on the show, as you know.
Right.
And I said, "You do that show. You'll be terrific. And anything I can do to help, please just let me know." He said, "Well, I've been looking at old shows, and so, do you mind if I imitate you for a while?" I said, "Of course not." But I said, "That's silly. You've got your own style, and you'll be terrific." I don't know Tom Bergeron. Actually, I'm taping the show. They've been after me for about 4 years to do the show, and I've been saying no. And now with the book coming out, I'd rather being out, and they have a new producer.
Henry Winkler.
Fonzie is producing the show. Henry Winkler.
Yeah.
And I know Henry, and he said, "Pete, would you do the show?" And I said, "Gee, you know, Henry, I don't think I'd like to do the show." He said, "You'll be the center square for a week, and you can plug the book." I said, "You know what would be fun? If you let me host it for a week and put Tom Bergeron in the center square." And they wouldn't buy that.
Right.
But anyway, they've changed the show. I saw it the other night. It's a little different, I guess. They have a different ending. But the show's never worked as well as it did originally, and I don't know why. You know, it has not been produced too well. It's not Tom Bergeron's fault. I think he's fine. I can't really put my finger on it. I don't think it's cast very well. And, you know something? I don't know why it doesn't work. I wish I did.
Well, that was going to be my next question about being on the show. Had you ever actually played the show in the past?
No, never have. No, so it'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to that.
Well, good.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Those are the numbers. Michael, hi, you're on CJD.
I'll take Peter Marshall for the win. Mr. Marshall, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thank you.
Wanted to ask you, well, basically two questions. First of all, did you have any say in the screening of the contestants? Because sometimes I'm watching that show and I'm saying, I can't believe they let these people on television. And the other being, was there one celebrity that you wanted on the show that you never really got?
Well, it's in the book, but I'll tell you some of the stories.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you all the stories.
No, of course.
I had nothing to do with the contestants. And they would put people on, and I would say to Ida Mae McKenzie, who was our contestant, I said, "Are you crazy?" I used to like to get older people. I thought they were fun. They would get me these Beverly Hills housewives, you know, with a lot of jewelry who wanted to get on the show, you know, to show their friends. And I wanted people on the show who were, you know, that needed the few dollars that we had to have a lot of fun. And I can remember, you know, somebody on the show, obviously with a little money, and some guy on the show with, he tried to clean up his fingernails, and, you know, he wasn't dressed too wonderfully. He's obviously a carpenter, just a hardworking guy. And I would never sway the show, and I could do it with an inflection or something, but I never did. I never tried to play God. But I would root for this guy, you know, and invariably the guy would lose. But, no, I had nothing to do with the contestants. Yes, I tried for 2 years to get George Gobel on the show. George was my closest friend on the show. And when they finally said yes, I ran to a place we used to hang out, and I said, "George, you're on the show." And he said, "Are you crazy? I'm not going to do that show. I won't be any good." He had no idea I'd been trying for 2 years. I just looked very closely to him, and I said, "Now listen, George, you're going to do the show, and you're going to shut up, and you'll be fine." And so he did the show, and he never left the show. It took me a long time to get my sister on the show. I had never worked with my sister.
Joanne Drew?
Joanne Drew, the actress. And it took me a long time to get her on the show. I stayed away from the bookings. I talk about how Matthau got on the show. He happened to be a friend of mine. We had done a movie together called Ensign Palmer. And all of this is in the book. It's kind of interesting. I've had some wonderful reviews on the book. They call it the most definitive game show book ever written, which is kind of nice. And it tells, you know, it answers all those questions. So I hope that answered. Did that answer your question? I don't know.
Yes, it did, actually, and it was a real pleasure talking with you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. 7900-991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD. Those are the numbers. As Michael mentioned, you sometimes wonder how some of the people actually got on the show. I often wanted to know, were some of the people just really nervous to be on the show or yeah. had no idea how to play tic-tac-toe?
Absolutely right. They would be fine in the interview, but once they got on the show and saw all the cameras and all the people, they would freeze up. I would give them a paper clip and during commercial. I said, now listen, just calm down. Listen carefully to the question and look at the board. Okie doke. And I tried to help them that way. But sometimes, you know, they just couldn't do it. I can remember a girl from San Diego, the dumbest person I think I ever met, won more money on our show because every obviously correct answer she would disagree with and she would be right. I mean, I started to laugh. I mean, everything she did was right, and she had no idea what the heck she was doing. So it was that kind of a show. This, you know, we're not talking about Jeopardy here or College Bowl. This was a, do you agree or disagree? You know, it's that simple a show.
Now, as fun as it was to watch the television show on TV, I was talking to a friend of mine just a little while ago, the other day, when I mentioned I was having you on, who actually had an opportunity to see the show in the audience.
I'll bet you had fun.
It was a little difficult, though. I mean, you had a big set, didn't you?
Huge.
The stars, basically, if you were depending where you're sitting, they could be looking like ants.
No. It wasn't that big, but yeah. It was a big set. And plus the fact they had monitors all over the
right.
where the audience were. And it was a hot ticket. You know, it was, the Tonight Show in Hollywood Squares was a hot ticket. It was hard to get in. And that's what you call the hot ticket. But we would seat about 500 people. And we would do three shows with the same audience. Then we would break for dinner and bring in another bunch of people. But we used to have a lot of fun because during the breaks, we would go out and entertain the people. You know, they would do stand-up comedy. We gave away things. It was the most fun I think I've ever had in show business.
Did you ever, especially when you got closer to the end, was it difficult sometimes when everyone in the audience knows the answer, or someone in the audience knows the answer, to keep them quiet, to keep them out of the game?
They were very good. They really were. For the most part, people, I would say, please don't yell out an answer. And I said, you could really lose this whole thing up. And no, for the most part, people were very good. Once in a while, some idiot would say something that we'd have to stop tape and do the whole thing over again.
Huh.
Yeah, but for the most, you know, the audiences were terrific.
We're talking with Peter Marshall, the original host of the Hollywood Squares here on CJAD. 7900991 is the number. Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD. He has a new album out, which we'll hear a little bit in the next half hour, Boy Singer. He has also a book out called Backstage with the Original Hollywood Square. And if you have any questions, line's free. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800.
Now more of CJAD's Holder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800. We are talking with Peter Marshall, the original host of the Hollywood Squares. 7900-991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD. For the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa, Hull area, and also the border states, those are the numbers to call. He has a book out called Backstage with the Original Hollywood Square. And I would assume, Peter, that the book must include some of the classic answers given by many of the celebrities on the show, particularly Paul Lynde.
Absolutely. Plus, I told you, it has the CD with all the great
right.
jokes on it. Yeah, where I recreate retell a lot of the jokes in there. And but the CD is that's the jewel. You'll really love that.
It must have been just a constant laugh fest when putting that show together each and every week.
Well, I would never be in the office. I never knew the jokes. I never knew the questions. I would get to the studio, read the questions, and I went on fresh as a daisy. And I don't know who was briefed, who wasn't. I just did it because I didn't want it. That's why it looked so ad-lib, because it was. It was a very free kind of thing. People were given jokes and things like that, but I never knew who, I never knew the joke, and they never knew the straight line. And that was the way the whole thing worked.
Were they supplied the answers?
No. They were not given answers. They were given jokes or bluffs, okay. But never answers.
Okay.
We could have given them answers because you have to agree or disagree, but that would have taken the fun out of it. No. We would not give them answers. That would have been stupid.
Now, when the show was on the air, going back to the 60s and the 70s, it certainly was a far more innocent time. Those were some very risque answers that were given, particularly by
Absolutely.
Paul Lynde.
Yes, we did a lot of politically incorrect things, actually. When you reflect on it, I go, whoa, how did we get by with that? But it was just in the writing and the way it was done. We had what we call compliance and practices, and they just didn't understand the jokes, I guess. I don't know. But we got away with murder. It's amazing when I think of some of the stuff.
Now, I want to get to your musical career, because I'm sure even though you spent so many years, as you said, you know, spending most of your time probably working in places like Vegas and singing.
How about Montreal?
And about Montreal, places like Montreal as well. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there because they watch television and they don't get a chance to get out too much, probably aren't even aware of the fact that you are or were boy singer.
Well, and that's what I really do. That's exactly, you know, I don't consider myself a host. I consider myself a musical comedy performer. I did the National Company of Lacage. I was in Toronto for, I think, 16 weeks. I was in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody in Montreal saw Lacage au Folle, the National Company, that was me. And I toured that for 2 years and did it in New York a year. And I've appeared in London many times. I did Bye Bye Birdie over there with Cheetah Rivera and with a great English comic by the name of Frankie Howard. I played the captain in HMS Pinafore with the London Symphony. And I've done a lot of Broadway, and I've done a lot of, you know, touring. So I started out as a band singer. That's what I did. I sang with bands when I was 15. I've been in the business, you know, for 62 years. So I've been around a long time.
Wow. 790-0991, Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJAD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hall area, and also the border states. Those are the numbers to call. We are speaking with Peter Marshall. I'm Peter Anthony Holder. And I believe you have another Peter on the line who wants to speak to you. Hi,
wow.
Peter.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
Fine,
Peter.
Hello, Peter and Peter.
Hi.
Peter 1, Peter 2, Peter 3.
Yeah.
Actually, my real name is Pierre, so I've got you.
I'd like to know, actually, Pietro, but I'd like to know how much of it was actually script and how much of it was ad-libbed by the stars?
They wouldn't script anything.
Mm-hmm.
They would give jokes. Let me give you an example. They would say to Paul, hey, Paul, on the first question of the night, it's going to be a story about World War II, a question about World War II. Now, a good bluff might be Omar Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
And a good joke might be, and he gave him a name. So here's the question. Paul, in World War II, who was known as Old Blood and Guts? Oh, he said, oh, yeah, that was Barbara Stanwyck. And if he didn't know it was General Patton, he would say Omar Bradley. That's how it was set up. But only Paul, George occasionally,
mm-hmm.
Cliff, you know, Cliff Arquette, Charlie Weaver occasionally, and Joan Rivers, but never to, like, Wally Cox or to most of the people. No, they were on their own.
I love it. In the two previous versions I've seen, and presumably in yours as well, a lot of the answers they gave seemed a little risque to the questions. Is that true as well with your show?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, they weren't risque. They were double entendre.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
One final question for me.
Very quickly, Peter.
Okay. I know it's a fun show to do, but was there any star not wanted to be known as being on the Hollywood Squares and only be known for that or something? Or
I don't understand the question.
Was there any star that regretted being on there?
Regretted being on it?
Yes.
I'm sure there were. I don't know who they were.
Okay.
But I'm sure some people came off kind of stupid, maybe. I don't know. And they felt probably badly about it. We tried to take care of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We gave them bluffs, and we tried to. We didn't want to embarrass. I know that Gene Hackman did the show, and he wasn't too thrilled about it because the questions were very difficult. I don't know why they did that to Gene Hackman because he's my favorite actor.
Okay.
I was thrilled to have him on the show. But we had dinner together after doing three shows, and he said, "What are they doing to me?" And I said, "It's just a game show, Gene, and you know, don't take it." you know, to heart.
Thanks for the call, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
We go to Virginia. Hi, you're on CJAD with Peter Marshall.
Hi.
Hi, Virginia.
Peter?
Yes, dear.
Were you really in Montreal in casual fall?
I did look casual fall. I was the guy. I was not the one in drag. I was the one with the straight clothes.
Yeah, I loved it so much that I saw it twice, and it was only here 5 days.
Really? That could have been.
Yeah.
We're talking about the national company about 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Go take a look at the old playbill.
I'm delighted to speak to you.
Well, thank you.
But, would you like to play anything else on Broadway?
You know something? I don't know. They're talking to me about doing a national company of a show in New York now. I got a call from the agency, and they said, would you like to go out for like a year? And my wife looked at me like, are you nuts? She plays golf every day. We've got six animals. And she said, let's not do this, honey. So I think I would have a problem with my wife.
Yeah.
But if the show were really terrific, I maybe could talk her into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would love to do it.
Delightful talking to you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We are talking with Peter Marshall here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD800. The album is entitled Boy Singer, and I want to play a track off the album right now.
What are you going to play?
I'm actually going to play the two songs you put together, The More I See You and You'll Never Know.
Yeah, the Dick Haynes medley.
Which is very, very nice.
Thank you.
Here is Peter Marshall, Boy Singer, on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD800.
Look at you, it's like the first time. Each time you're near me, the thrill is new. And there is nothing that I wouldn't give for the rare delight of the sight of you, dear. The more I see you, the more I want you. Somehow this feeling just grows and grows. With every sigh, I become more mad about you. A million or more times.
Peter Marshall, Boy Singer, here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. The More I See You and You'll Never Know. You mentioned Dick Hames.
Right.
Wasn't he your brother-in-law at one point?
Yes. Dick married my sister, the actress Joanne Drew, when I was about 13. And I had lost my dad, and he was like my big brother or my surrogate father. And he was really the catalyst for me being in show business. And I just loved the way he sang, and he was so kind to me and helped me in my career. And I dedicated that to Dick. I would never sing as well as Dick Hames, but I had to do two songs for Dick Hames in my CD.
It's a really good album. The thing I liked about it is at the very end, you list the credits. It's almost like you're watching a live show or listening to a live show.
That was the thing. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, how am I going to end this album? And because the arranger had put Moonglow on it, I said, why don't I just do roll credits? I've been in the studio all day today. I'm doing a new CD. It's called Remembering the Lady in Satin, Billie Holiday, with the great Ray Ellis. And Ray Ellis did the original Billie Holiday, Lady in Satin, in 1958. And we're recreating it. And I've been recording all day. And I'm ending with the same kind of thing. And I give credits and who the musicians were and the producer and the conductors and things like that.
You know? It's a nice touch when I hear that on the album. How do you record? Do you do with the orchestra or do you do to the tracks?
No, I go in and I record with the orchestra. Then I listen to it for about 10 days, right? Then I go back into the studio, I erase what I do, and I do it all over again. And you won't believe this. I did the CD, Boy Singer. I started at 10 in the morning, and I finished at 4:30.
The same day?
13 tracks.
Wow.
Yeah. And today, I did 9 tracks. And Ray Ellis, he did all the original, Johnny Mathis records and Streisand records. He said, "Pete, I've never seen that." He said, "I've seen Sinatra do 6 or 7 things, but not a whole CD." Well, actually, I have 2 more to do. I don't know what it is. I'm a kind of a relaxed guy, and I'm relaxed in the studio, and I don't have any vocal problems, and it's just easy for me. It's not a brilliant talent. It's just something that I can do, and I would much rather go in and do it all at once if I could.
Well, speaking of talent, there's a lot of talent in the family. We've already discussed your sister, Joanne Drew. Your son was a Major League Baseball player.
Yep, he played in Montreal. Sure, he played with the Cubs and played with the Royals. And he uses the family name, which is my real name, Pete Lecoq. My name is Lecoq. My real name is Pierre Lecoq, actually. And so all my kids have stayed with the name Lecoq, which makes me very proud. I wish the heck I had, to be frank with you. But when I started, you just couldn't use the name like Lecoq, to be frank with you. But Pete played many years in the major leagues. He was, as I said, with the Cubs and had great years with the Royals. And he still lives in Kansas City.
Where did the name Marshall come from?
It came from my sister, who, before Joanne Drew, she was Joanne Marshall. She was a top model in New York, and John Robert Powers gave her that name. And I got my first job when I was 15, so I was the kid brother. So I became Pete Marshall.
Now, did you ever anticipate, I mean, you talked about the influence of Dick Hames.
Right.
And obviously you started as a singer and carried through with that. But when you first got into the business, where did you think your career was going? And looking back on it now, how does it compare to what you originally planned to do?
You know, I hope I can answer this. When I got into the business, I tried to get something. I did not have much of an education. And I could sing, and I was offered jobs. I sang so I could make a few bucks to eat, to be brutally frank with you. We were dirt poor, and my mom worked at Macy's. My sister was a model. And when I went to school, I also worked after school as an usher at the Paramount Theater. Then I was a page boy at NBC in New York. And then I got a job singing. So it was just a means to an end. And I hoped that I would have a career as a singer. And I never had a great career as a singer. I had a fine career as part of a comedy team. And I had a career in theater. And I had a career in television. But I never had the career I wanted, which was to be the voice singer?
Well, you're doing it now.
I'm doing it now. I'm having a lot of fun, and people seem to enjoy it.
And Hollywood Squares, you did do some television after Hollywood Squares. You had a variety show, did you not, for a while?
I did the Peter Marshall variety show. Yeah, that was on for about two seasons. I did a show with Leslie Uggams called Fantasy. And then I went back to New York to do Lacage, and I did that for 3 years. Then I did 42nd Street for a year. Then I did the National Company of Rumors for 2 years. And my wife said, honey, let's get off the road. So we came back here to Encino, California. So I do a lot of club dates. I do a lot of concerts. I did one last night, in fact, in Camarillo, California. It was sold out. And I worked with the Les Brown Band a lot. And the Bill Toole Band, which is now the Harry James Band. So I do a lot of big band stuff, but I just, you know, I'm not retired. I'm having a lot of fun.
I'm
doing what I want to do.
With the Game Show Network now showing what is so aptly referred to as classic squares, and they run at, 2:30 in the afternoon here in the East.
Well, they run it about five times a day.
But
it's a huge hit.
It is.
Yes, the number one show on the Game Show Network.
Do you find that you're getting a whole new generation of fans?
Absolutely. My email and my website are just jammed. People saying, "Well, I'd heard that there was an original show, but and in the beginning, we didn't have a lot of young people watch us."
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, really?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's what demographically, so what they said, we didn't have a lot of young. Now, the young people are mad for the show, and which is a lot of fun to me. My grandkids watched the show. They didn't know what granddad did. They knew he was a singer. But when they see the show, they get a big kick out of it. I have 9 grandkids.
Wow.
And I think the kids get a really big kick out of it.
Now, there was a time when game shows littered the television landscape, particularly on the networks in the daytime.
Right.
And I guess it was twofold. One, they were fun to watch. Two, they were cheap to make.
And they paid for nighttime.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people don't realize, when they only had 3 networks and like 2 independents, daytime television supported nighttime television. They were always in deficit financing in the nighttime shows. And daytime made a fortune for them, so where they could put on all these shows and go into deficit financing and keep them going. But that's not the case anymore. Where we would get 48 shares, 52 shares, if you get a 12 share, I guess you're doing wonderfully today.
So what do you think it is that brought an end to the game show? The reason why I ask that is to me, 2 of my favorite game shows that I never missed while growing up, and one of them is now back on, Pyramid.
Right.
And the other one is Hollywood Squares.
Uh-huh.
And it was, they're simple, they're fun to watch, and you didn't really have to, like nowadays with some of the nighttime game shows when they were on, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It wasn't necessarily the large amounts of cash that people were winning. It was the fun in the game itself.
Absolutely. And I think they've lost that. I find a lot of the shows today are very mean-spirited.
Yes.
And, what the heck was that show with that woman? They came out of England.
Weakest Link. Yes.
I found that. And these Survivor shows, all these shows are so mean-spirited. And when we did shows, they were just fun to do, and we tried to help everybody, and it was that kind of a thing. If you want a couple of $100, great, you know? You want a refrigerator or a freezer, and once in a while you can even win a car. And that's what it was all about. But you must remember, 25 years ago, it was a nicer place to live, too.
When I first thought of getting in contact with you and having you on the show was a couple of months ago when I saw the special that you and some of the other game show hosts put together.
Right, Outrageous Game Show Moments. I'm doing 2 more in October.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this month we're doing 2 more. Yeah, with Bob Eubanks and I think Monty Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wink. I'm not sure. I know that Bob and I are on it. Yeah, but I think they're going to have like 4 hosts. They have a lot of outtakes they're going to show of my show and of Bob's show. The Newlywed Game.
That was a lot of fun to watch the first one.
It went through the roof. It was the number one show for the week. And so they repeated it. They said, well, let's do some more of these suckers. In fact, if it does well, they're thinking of going to series with it, like once a month, which would be a lot of fun.
Have you ever, or has anybody come to you and said, you know, Peter, we'd like you to host another game show. Would you do it?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It would have to be a tremendous show, and I don't think they would come to me. They like young people. It's a young thing out there. And yet, the funny thing is, the most successful game show, the guy's about 7, 8 years older than I am, Bob Barker.
Bob Barker, yes.
And the most successful talk show in the afternoon is Regis, and we're contemporaries, you know. And I don't think they get it, but that's okay.
Well, I'm glad we've had the opportunity to share some time with you and talk about the various things you've done in your career. The album, again, is entitled Boy Singer, Peter Marshall, Boy Singer. It's out by Glen Island Music. And
actually, it's been re-released by Vera Saraban.
Okay.
Vera Saraban, and it's in stores. You could ask for it. But the best thing is Amazon.com. It's the cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
And, or go to my website if you want an autograph.
And that's boysinger.com, www.boysinger.com. And you said you're already working on, you're recording tracks for another album?
Right. It's going to be called Remembering the Lady in Satin, Billie Holiday.
And when will that one be out?
Hopefully before Christmas.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
And the book is called Backstage with the Original Hollywood Square. That, too, is also available from Amazon.com. You can find it in bookstores.
That's in every store, I believe.
And you could also, if you want a copy of it autographed, you can go to the website, which is www.boysinger.com.
I'd be more than happy to do that.
Peter, I thank you very, very much for being on the program with us.
Well, it's been my pleasure. And you should get the book, and you've got to play the CDs for your fans out there. They'll laugh a lot.
Actually, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
That'd be a great, I'm sure they would enjoy that immensely. We'll definitely do that.
Well, good.
I thank you. When I called to book you on the program, you were out on the links somewhere.
I was. I was up in Napa, where my wife won. I want you to know that my wife won the long drive contest. I'm not talking about for the women and the men. She was 20 yards in front of Ed Marinero. And I laughed so hard. Well, she went from the Reds, you know.
Right.
But she could really play. And she also won the tournament. And she's something else. My wife could really play. That's why I play, because my wife loves it so much.
Pleasure and an honor to talk to you, sir.
Thank you so much, and thank you. You've been very kind, and my best to all my friends up there in Montreal.
Take care.
Bye-bye.